Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Friday! Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. We got a lot to get to today, man. Look, I am excited about the Braves getting back to it. I'm excited to see where this goes and where it takes us. And, Mike, there were some guys who were upset with the conversation yesterday. I think more upset with me than they were with you because I was like, well, they may not do as much as you think. And that upsets a lot of people, but I'm just trying to lay out the reality to you that you got all these arms coming back. Now, we think they will do something. How much, I don't know. But I got to say this, man, as the Braves get back to it tonight, start a series against the Rangers. We are 2.5 games up on the Mets, who beat the Phillies 4-1. They got back at it last night. Those of you who think Alex Anthopoulos is incompetent, you don't know what you're talking about. The guy has had us in the playoffs every year he's been here. And the reason we didn't make the playoffs is because of injuries. The one year we don't make the playoffs is because of injuries. It wasn't because Alex did something or didn't do something. So I know, Mike, everybody's looking like to point fingers and want to blame people and say, all right, this is why, and he's incompetent because he's not going to do this, that, and the other.
Right.
I just think, look, once the limitations are set, you can only do so much.
Right. We kind of got into it yesterday. I mean, it's not the greatest sports topic. Budgets, but I mean, that's where it's at. I mean,
nobody wants to talk about that.
Look, it's just I agree, and I've said this a million times. And guys, unless somebody says it directly, I think some of our audience just goes, well, I don't believe it. There's a cap. They work with limitations. Carl told you yesterday. They will not get in the luxury tax, okay? They're just not going to do it. Philly will, Braves won't. I say they should, they don't, okay? That's it. So you're going to get only expiring contracts or guys when they're either young with salary control. That's the only kind of players we're going for. Anything other than that, they won't do it. So I just think that Alex, guys, 21 was amazing. Now, you could argue, why doesn't Alex – well, I don't know. Why doesn't Alex spend $250 million on a quality starting pitcher, Cy Young? He can't. I think that he has a philosophy, Carl. I do agree he doesn't want to overpay for pitching.
Right.
But the Braves don't deal with Scott Boras when it comes to starting pitchers. So there you go. There goes your top 15 pitchers every other year, right, that's out there in free agency.
It's just hard, man. And I got a little bit of that last night, Mike, as I was looking back from our stuff that, you know, we posted and from the show yesterday. And it was just interesting. Like, you guys need to learn. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're upset because we're telling you the GM's mindset? We're just telling you that this is where it's kind of at. And you know, look, I don't know if that changes or what might change that, but I'm with Mike. Like, I've said this. If you think they're going to take $50 million and go get two pitchers, okay, high-end, top-level, high-end rotate, it's not happening. That's not happening. That doesn't mean they won't go get a pitcher.
Right.
But that part of it is not going to play out.
No, it's just, like I said, you know, it's the Drew Smileys or the Kevin Gausmans of the world. Gausman actually kind of restarted his career from his time with the Braves and actually got, you know, pretty good. So that's what we're at. That's where we're living. So, and then I love it because if you don't agree with us, you're idiots.
Yes.
Okay. It's like talking politics, you know, stick to sports because I don't agree with you. So you're stupid. Okay. You know, guys, we're just telling it like it is. What 21, we had a much better starting pitching staff that stayed healthy. You had three or four guys that could stay healthy. We haven't been able to have a pitching staff stay healthy for 2.5 years. Okay, three, if you want to be technical, 23, we wrapped up with guys that were banged up. That's why we lost to the Phillies.
Yeah.
So that's where we're living. It's frustrating to me. I always think as a fan, when you've got a team that's good enough to be where we are and winning a division or leading a division despite all the problems you've dealt with, you should invest in it. They don't always do that. That's the reality of it.
Where are you guys at as we get the second half of the season started? Walt Weiss, by the way, was talking as we went into the break about how important it was to get that win in St. Louis. We didn't get swept, which was good. We salvaged the game. You go into the All-Star break. Everybody comes out of the All-Star game healthy, which is good. And now we just need to see, hi, Austin, what Riley's going to do. Acuna's on his way back, guys. Kim, hopefully he can help us. They're trying everything they possibly can before they let this guy go, before they just outright let him go. But hopefully
$20 million worth of failure, they want to try to squeeze some production out of.
A little bit, Mike. Can I get just a couple of RBIs out of you before we let you go? But here's Walt Weiss and what he said before the break.
People talk about must wins and this and that. I mean, I guess there's never a must win unless it's game seven, but it felt like it, you know, it felt close to it. We needed to win this game and salvage a game in this series and then head into the break. And yeah, hopefully get a few days off and come out rolling.
Let's hope so. Pitching rotations are set. We'll talk with Grant McCauley coming up a little bit later on. But yeah, I just found it interesting because it's funny when you guys don't disagree or when you disagree with us, we are idiots. And that's fine. I've been an idiot a long time. But it's just like you don't want to hear the other side of this. And if they don't do what you expect them to do, then Alex Anthopoulos doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's one of the best GMs in the baseball, guys. He's one of the best GMs in sports. Name a general manager, start with the Falcons, start with the Hawks, that has put his team, since he's taken over, in the playoffs 8 years in a row. I'll wait. It hasn't happened in our city. And guys, I know it's hard every year, and with the long season, injuries are abound. This is what happens, and you got to be able to overcome it. So with that said, you guys can chime in, but I am excited to see where this goes, Mike. And look, if it goes downhill here in these first couple of weeks, I'm just saying, why are you going to go all in if that's the situation? What if we are, let's just say, four games out behind the Phillies in 17 days, Mike, which is very possible.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're looking at this differently. You're saying, okay, do we really want to go all in the trade deadline or maybe just make some small moves? But all of a sudden, let's just say we go on a win streak and we win, I don't know, 10 in a row, hypothetically. Right. Then you go, you know what? I love what we're doing, and we got all these reinforcements coming back. Let's spend some more money. That's what I'm talking about with the change of thought. You just don't go into this and go, well, if we don't spend $50 million, we're idiots.
I mean, Bryce Elder, you lost his last three starts. He started getting hit. You know, we talked about it, getting hittable, and they figured him out. And it just you lost confidence in him. You got Chris Sale. Grant Holmes can give you 4 2/3 or 5 innings. You know, you're hoping Ronaldo Lopez gets back. You're hoping that Hurston Waldrop, you know, get more opportunities. AJ Smith, Shaver. I mean, guys, it's hope.
A lot of hope.
Hope. Austin Riley remembers he's a professional baseball hitter. You know. Hope that Kim gets and by the way, they're moving Kim and Acuna up to Gwinnett.
Let's go.
So they've already, you know, a week basically down in Northport. Now they're moving to Gwinnett.
Hurry home.
Right. So, and Ronald's got to hit the ground running. Ronald, I mean, this maybe what, 10 days? He has been really, really good. Otherwise, he's been disappointing too. He's not playing to his baseball card.
No, he's not. He hasn't. But again, you can at least chalk that up to injury. You can't tell me that about Austin Riley. And that's the difference. He's been healthy and ready to go and out there every day. 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. Lots of stuff going on, guys. We got NBA conversation to get to. Our man Brian McFadden is going to join us coming up here in less than 10 minutes. CBS Sports NFL analyst as we get ready for NFL training camps. Do you guys realize this? This is how close we are. The Seahawks rookies report today. The 49ers rookies report tomorrow. Our rookies report next Friday. But the point is, there is NFL conversation, Mike, that's about to gear up here and start. And it'll be on for the next 8 months until we get to the Super Bowl and beyond. But, man, I can't wait. But that's how close we are to training camps getting underway. So B-Mac will join us. We'll talk plenty of NFL with him. I got to mention this because Mike and I were talking about the World Cup. As much as I would love tickets, now maybe not. Is anybody going to be able to breathe up there, Mike, with this smoke and how it's affecting the Northeast?
It's supposed to be clearing up by today, according to all the beautiful people on ABC I saw last night.
Okay.
Let's go to Ginger Z. She'll time it out for us. But no, I was watching that, and it seems like, yeah, the air quality from Chicago to New York is just dreadful.
It's terrible.
You saw some of the videos, some folks shot from the airplanes arriving at the JFK or LaGuardia. So we eventually, it's creeping down to D.C. now. I know. It's like it's sort of apocalyptic, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I only bring that up because, look, the smoke affects you running and breathing. And if there's poor air quality, and you know, this goes for Spain and Argentina, and I know they have those breaks, mandatory breaks and all that, but it may affect the match. I don't know how much. Maybe it doesn't. But even in the stands, Mike, you know, got to have one of those masks on, man, to be, I don't want to breathe this smoke because it looks terrible. But I hope that that's the case, what you're saying, that it dissipates.
But supposed to be some thunderstorms and a big weather system to clear all that out.
I hope
so. Yeah. So thanks, Canada. No, I'm kidding. But it's one of those things. We've seen it out west. It's just, you know, it's just, I know some people say it's global warming. I don't know. Yes, maybe. Okay. Maybe you should clear brush like they should in California all the time instead of burning down Hollywood every other weekend. Either way, it's a mess up there. And you're right. It's going to affect a lot of pro sports and the biggest stage for the biggest game. And you might be not cool.
They could have had it indoors.
That's just, and you and I said this, indoors. They like the juice of the number one, you know, the number one city in America, in New York City and everything else. But again, there's nothing around the Meadowlands, or I should say MetLife Stadium. L.A. was the play. As much as we, you know, didn't like seeing U.S. every night, but it did make it for primetime with the U.S. men's national team. I mean, us, Dallas, L.A.
Yes.
Because anybody, yes. Show of hands, have you been to MetLife? There's nothing special about MetLife. Nothing special about MetLife, inside or outside.
Yeah, when they show it, and again, you'll take a look because most people, either you've been there or you haven't or whatever, but when they show the stadium, you're like, looks like a box. There's nothing special, to Mike's point. But I will say this. Canada's gotten 900 wildfires going, Mike. 900. So that's part of this, with 26 reported so far today alone, according to the Canadian Wildland Fire Information System. So they've been ravaged by nearly 900 wildfires this year, 26 reported today, which is causing all this smoke stuff. So anyways, the good news is it's not affecting us down here.
Right.
But it will affect that match. And it's look, I just don't want any excuses. I don't want an excuse, you know, like, oh, well, the smoke was affecting Argentina. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want to hear it.
Right. So we'll see. Now, again, unless El Presidente decides to call the Air Force and seed some clouds. I don't know. I mean, it would not be great. Not in the realm of the impossible. President will be there, by the way, to award the trophy to the winning team.
Did you see?
On Sunday, apparently.
I didn't know this, and I always thought that maybe they did, but it's an American thing. They're actually, the winner's going to get rings this time. Rings.
Okay. And they get medals. You get medals, and you get a ring and a medal?
So, yeah, okay. But, you know, we always talk about it's about the rings, right? I mean, that's that thing where, you know, we always care about how many rings a guy has. So, but for the first time, the World Cup is awarding rings. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. But that's like our thing, man. That's an American thing. You guys can find us on social media. Plenty to get to on a big Friday show. Also, we will get a chance later on today to talk to Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO. Hawks do not advance in the summer league, Mike, if you're curious. Right. But they got a new TV deal we'll talk about. And certainly talk about all this NBA conversation. Adam Silver, man. And Mike, we got to get into this, by the way. Saying that Caitlin Clark is being used as a political ping pong, like a political football,
what?
In the sense, yeah,
oh boy.
In the sense that the way people are discussing what's going on with her and how they're saying that this should be happening versus that because of Caitlin Clark. We'll get into it, but we'll ask Steve Kuhn as well as he joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. Hey, man, I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, Mike, give him your social media handle.
ATL Bell 929. That's ATL Bell 929. Operators are standing by. There is a Mike Bell. I can't figure out how to. I did find it. Somebody got it back for me.
Oh, okay.
But I can't. All my followers are gone.
Yeah, I can't maneuver it.
And Elon Musk and his Autobots. I give up, Carl. I'm just stuck with 2,500 followers. It is liberating because I can say all sorts of things.
That's true. And nobody's really saying anything.
No one's going to check you on it.
Yeah, he was supposed to make Twitter and all this stuff better. All right, with that said, follow the show at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. While I was talking about soccer, by the way, Atlanta United tonight at Nashville. Pre-games at 7, kicks at 8. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore with the call. All right, when we come back, our man B-Mac joins us next from CBS Sports.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great Friday. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As Mike mentioned, the Braves announced Acuna and Kim are going to join the Stripers on the road in Toledo tonight. So yes, they're making their way back to the big league club. And the Braves are set to open the second half of the season against the Rangers. More on that coming up. And we'll talk plenty more about the World Cup final on Sunday. We'll get you an open update as well. But right now, let's talk some football, man, because we are all anxious to get the season here and camps and all the conversation that's surrounding it. BMAC, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, joining us, CBS Sports NFL analyst. B, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Hanging in there, man. I mean, look, Mike and I are excited. I know our rookies report next week. We were talking about a couple of teams' rookies reporting today and, you know, 49ers tomorrow. And it just takes me, you know, to the first question with you, and that is, how exciting but also, you know, nervous and anxious were you as a player knowing that camp was here? Because you spend all this time in the offseason trying to get better, right? I don't know what guys are doing. You're working on speed and you're getting stronger. Maybe you're studying the playbook, right, if you're quarterbacks or whatever. But now it's approaching, and you know, look, this is where the rubber hits the road, man. You gotta show up and be ready to go.
Yeah, as I think back to my rookie year, I think it's when you get ready for training camp, guys, it's more excitement than being nervous. Because the luxury that I had along with the rookies for this season, they've had multiple opportunities to be on the grass with the veterans. When you talk about OTAs, when you have that mini camp, I mean, those are very, very important opportunities for rookies to kind of get themselves acclimated to this new regiment they're getting ready to embark in on. So by the time you get ready for training camp in late July, you kind of understand and know the nuances for your new team, how the meetings are handled, how the practice regiment is handled. And now it's about getting ready for preseason, which provides that area of excitement. So for me, man, it was more about, man, I'm one step closer to fulfilling a childhood dream, you know, playing in a meaningful game. Because for rookies, especially, you know, if you're not a first round type guy, you know, preseason games are like regular season games for you. You know, you get a chance to kind of showcase what you can do in the organization and what kind of impact you potentially could make.
Hey, BMAC, your Steelers went through like a whole litany of crazy wide receivers over the years.
Yeah.
Reason I bring it up, we were talking yesterday about Stephon Diggs saying, I'm better than any WR2 in the league. necessity will get him back on the field, right? Someone's going to make the phone call when there's an injury, or do people just not want that smoke of a 1,000-yard receiver last year?
Yo, that's a great question, because you don't question his football talent or can he provide an impact. I think some of the baggage, the negative baggage that he's been tied to, it really makes it difficult. It really makes it difficult because, yes, he's still a heck of a wide receiver, but he's nowhere close to being in his prime years that he once was years ago. So do you bring in a guy like Diggs who potentially could have some baggage tied to him? I just saw another story that surfaced yesterday. A friend who was a part of his, you know, team that – who was employed is now suing him again, suing him also now. So now it's another lawsuit potentially that's tied to him. So if you're a team, man, you got to think about, does it make sense? Because think about it like this, guys. A year ago, he played for the AFC representative in the Super Bowl in the New England Patriots. Right. Was one of their best offensive playmakers, and they cut ties with him. I think he had over 1,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken, a year ago. But yet and still, his impact was very, very significant, and they cut ties with him. And they needed wide receivers, because when you look at what they did, they went out and brought in two proven wide receivers with experience in Romeo Dobbs and, of course, A.J. Brown. So if you're an organization who could use help at the wide receiver position, you got to make sure it makes sense, because it seems like there's some type of negative baggage tied to him, and I think that's why he's still available right now.
Speaking of wide receivers, what's up with Brandon Ayuk, man? Is he done in the league? People going to put up with this BS?
Man, he's like some burnt bacon. Done. You don't eat burnt bacon. You throw it in the trash. It's a wrap, man. And it's sad, honestly, because you hate to see individuals that are ultra-ly talented hurt their ability to play the sport they love because of this – not being stable in some areas of their life. Because if you look at everything that played out in San Francisco outside of the knee injury, everything negative was self-employed. He did it to himself. And now seeing what he's been doing on social media, and now it's also too like this, Mike and Carl, where's his true friends? Like, where's his true homeboys? Guys that have been in his life for quite some time where they can step up to him personally, in person, and say, bruh, chill out, bruh. Like, who is in his corner that can, like, you know, sometimes put him in check? Like, because clearly he has no one in his corner. And even if he does, he's not listening to those guys. So clearly there's a lack of respect. Because, you know, when you respect people, you listen to them to a degree. I'll say that much. You listen to them to a degree. But for Brandon Ayuk, man, he's self-inflicted himself out of the league based on his actions.
Right. Where's the – I mean, look, you had an agent. We all have – where was the agent on this? Is he just not getting good advice?
Exactly. Yeah. Agent, teammates from San Fran – any close teammates he had while he played at Arizona State, because it felt like when he got paid, he turned into someone differently. And I don't know the ins and outs of who he was early on in his career, but I'm talking about the actions that we're seeing now. We didn't see these actions early on in his career in San Francisco. Remember when he first came out of Arizona State, was fairly quiet. You know, each year he got better. He had a few breakout years. And then when he got that huge deal, he turned into a different guy. And because of that, we won't see him. We just talked about Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has a greater chance of playing this season, more so than Brandon Ayuk, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. B, I want you to help me with this, man, because we love Jesse Bates. And look, when you talk about the safety position, I think it's changed, right? I mean, you got to have a versatile safety in this league more so than ever now. It used to be they were kind of, you know, one-dimensional. But Kyle Hamilton is considered to be the best guy at the position for Baltimore, and he covers, you know, he covers tight ends. People forget he covered Kelsey,
right?
Held him to one catch, I think, in a game. He covers wide receivers. Derwin James is on this list. Xavier McKinney from the Packers. And then obviously Brian Branch from the Lions. But Jesse Bates, man, tell me how important he is to what the Falcons do. And then in your opinion, being a corner, how has the safety position changed?
Well, for Atlanta, the thing about Jesse, the experience he has is felt oftentimes. Not just through his actions, but just the verbal communication. Because when you have some young guys in the secondary, like the Falcons, and not to mention Xavier Watts, who's playing alongside Jesse Bates, as a defensive coach, you know Jesse's going to make sure Xavier knows exactly where to go. Think about some of the big-time plays that we saw from Xavier Watts. You can't overlook the individual intellect that he has, right? The playmaking ability that he has. But go back and look at some of those plays and just watch the communication with him and Jesse Bates, right? So now you factor that into the equation. Not to mention he is a dual threat type of safety. He's not just a cover guy. He's a guy that shows up in the running game as well. So there's no liabilities to his game, and he's a game breaker. He make plays. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, since 2019, I don't think there's another safety that has had more interceptions or defensive back that has more interceptions than Jesse Bates.
Right. He's won games for us. I mean, he literally won games for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Every step of the way, he's been a game breaker, you know what I mean, playmaker. Mm-hmm. So for Atlanta, he is the quarterback of the secondary, right? And that's very, very important. And for the league, you know, oftentimes – some guys get overlooked, and he made the list. I was just happy to see him make the list in the top 10 because oftentimes, you know, a guy like Jesse Bates can get overlooked because he's not playing for a legit playoff contender, where at least a year ago they weren't. You know what I mean? So just seeing him get his flowers, man, I'm happy to see that. And I expect another big-time year for Jesse Bates because clearly he didn't show any signs of slowing down in 2025.
Speaking of playoffs and missing playoffs, and now a new coach, Lamar Jackson. There was some, again, a lot of this is clickbait, right? As Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl winner from the Steelers, joins us here on Dukes and Bell. A lot of this is just clickbait to get us, you know, talking as we're ready for camp. But Lamar Jackson fell down on some people's lists. How does he reestablish himself as the man? I mean, we know he's the man, but he's got to win a playoff game, and some would say he's got to win the Super Bowl to validate his contract.
Hey, Mike, he didn't just fall down on some people's lists. Correct me if I'm wrong, he fell off the cliff. I think they had him at 69, right? The top 100.
Like, right.
And if you're telling me that list was assembled by current players, that's hogwash. I'm not believing that. I'm not. You're not going to tell me Lamar Jackson, because I think the year before he was like number two. He was top five. You can't tell me in an injury-plagued season, and we knew the issues in terms of production or the lack thereof was based on injury, that he goes from being a top five player to 69?
Right.
Like, what are we talking about? Stop. Sometimes, man, common sense is free. Use it. You don't get charged to use common sense, especially when it comes to the football eye. But for Lamar Jackson, to answer your question, the expectations are always high for Lamar Jackson because he's that type of player. You know, he's won two MVPs. He's been a guy that could win meaningful ball games for you. But it's about the postseason success, as you mentioned. Like, that's what we want to see. For Lamar Jackson, the season doesn't start until playoffs. And when you watch Lamar Jackson, about his entire career, when he's been healthy, they've been in the playoffs. And I understand they have a new head coach and Jesse Minter, but I can care less. When Lamar Jackson has been healthy, every step of the way, they've been a playoff-caliber team. And if he is healthy, I expect the same thing. Now it's about getting over the hump. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen kind of face the same hill postseason, finding a way to get to a championship game,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
But oftentimes it seems like Lamar Jackson, who's done more, the only other player in the National Football League, especially at the quarterback position, who has more accomplishments than Lamar Jackson is Pat Mahomes. But who's criticized the most is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson has been criticized more so than Josh Allen. He's done more than Josh Allen. Now, to whom much is given, much is expected, I understand that. But come on, stop the disrespect. Stop the disrespect. There's 88% of the NFL organizations in the National Football League, if they could get Lamar Jackson right now, today, they would. So we know where it starts for Lamar Jackson. It's about January football.
That's right.
But in terms of him being rated the 69th best player in the NFL, nah, that's BS.
No, I agree. Before we get out of here, I got to ask you, look, we all love storybook endings.
Right.
But I don't think that's what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. And I want to get your take on this because this is going to be his last year. He's with his former coach and Mike McCarthy in Pittsburgh. And you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if there's excitement like there was. Now, I get it. Steeler fans are Steeler fans, and they're going to ride or die. But I don't know if there's excitement like there has been going into this last season of Aaron Rodgers. Can he go out miracle style, storybook style?
So when you say storybook style.
Yes, I'm talking about a deep playoff run. Because I can't promise the Super Bowl for anybody.
As good as like Joe Montana in Kansas City, something decent, but that's about as good as going to get.
But, you know, if he took him to the AFC Championship game, that's a hell of a run. That's a hell of a story.
You better believe it.
Okay.
I think he can.
Mm.
Now, and I'm saying this because, first and foremost, for you to have an opportunity to have a significant playoff run, you have to be able to get into the playoff, correct?
Yes.
And the best way to get into the playoffs
division.
is to be relevant in your division.
Right.
And the last time I checked, the Steelers, regardless who's been the quarterback, they've always won games in the division. The division never has been an issue. It's been the other teams outside. And, I'll throw this out there. Miles Garrett has been a terror, has been a thrown in it behind for quite some time, but he's no longer there in Cleveland.
Yeah, right.
So Lamar Jackson, we just talked about it. He's 3-7 in his career against Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, Joe Burrow, I think he's around 500. So the two best quarterbacks in the division have struggled.
Right.
So more so than anything against Pittsburgh. So I think they can get into the playoffs. Now, to your point about a significant playoff run, something they haven't been able to do in a long, long time. If they're healthy and if Aaron Rodgers is playing and he's getting the protection he needs to get, I think it could happen. I think this defense would be better. Aaron Rodgers came back for a particular reason. He trusts Mike McCarthy. Yeah. Mike McCarthy right now is the best coach in that division.
Right.
He's the best coach in the AFC North. That means something. The guys they brought in, the experienced players, bringing in Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, this team on paper, especially on the offensive side, is much better than what we've seen in quite some time. So that has to account for something. And it's all about having a clean bill of health. That's very, very important. I tell people this all the time when I talk about championship caliber teams. The best team is not always the team that wins. It's the healthiest.
Yeah.
It's the luckiest. Mm. that plays a major part in who hoists the sticky Lombardi in February. So for me, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers can, because I understand the AFC North, the AFC in totality, is very, very competitive. But any given Sunday in a Game 7-like scenario, and you still have Aaron Rodgers, who showed last year that he's more than just a serviceable quarterback, you have to like his chances. And I can tell you this much, they're going to start off 1-0.
Hey, you know what? That's a bunch of jive right there. And by the way, he's about as mobile. He's about as mobile as a sleeper sofa, B-Mac. You know that. Look, we gotta catch a break. One last question. Is Aaron Donald going to come? How's he going to manage Aaron Donald if he does come back? Like 20, 25 plays a game, and can he still kick ass?
Yeah, I say this much. When he first comes back, and I think he will come back, I think it, early on they're going to really have him on a shot clock, you know what I mean? But by playoff time, it's off and running. It's off and running. And I get an opportunity, guys, just giving you guys a quick nugget. I will be visiting the Rams, and I will have an opportunity to have a one-on-one with Sean McVay. And you know digging.
Cool.
I'm digging. I'm digging about this Aaron Donald situation. I'm digging about the how the Miles Garrett trade became a thing. And then you talk about the Ty Simpson. There's a lot I'm ready to hit Sean McVay with, but clearly I think Aaron Donald's coming back, and I think that would be my formula for him. Playoff time, bro. We're taking the governor off. You can go as fast as you want to go.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Can't wait. Bart Scott, man, the famous quote, and we can't for football to come, and it's here, guys. B-Mac, appreciate you as always, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
He mentioned the Steelers going 1-0. You know, we start with
that's week one for us.
So that's why he said that.
In the Berg. But again, I just think Aaron Rodgers looked so pedestrian, so slow, so immobile last year when it mattered. If somebody doesn't get separation, he's dead duck. He's got to take the sack.
I agree. We've got more NFL conversation to get to, man. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish, spacious, Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Brian McFadden. Mike and I were just talking in the break, guys, here on a Friday, and he was saying, you know, tongue-in-cheek, like, hey, I know they're going to go 1-0, and he was talking about the Steelers as we were talking about the expectations for Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers in his last year. And I just said to Mike, we go up there and lay an egg, and here we go again. Now, look, if we go lose and it's a field goal game, that's the NFL. Okay, let's regroup and keep it moving. But if we go up there and play poorly, Mike, and – you know, it's just a bad outing. And, guys, they got some dudes. I mean, Cam Hayward's still there. Patrick Queen. They have T.J. Watt. They still got Alex Highsmith. Like, defensively, I'm talking about our offense facing their defense. And we saw him. You know, we saw him, I think, a couple of years ago with Kirk Cousins as our quarterback. But the fact is, that's a big start.
I got to be honest. I mean, I get what Brian's saying. He feels there's going to be this one last go around for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was terrible. They got beat 30-6. It should have been 56-6 by the Texans up in Pittsburgh. Remember, guys, that's the game where C.J. Stroud fumbled it 5 times.
That's right.
Every time they give the ball right back to Aaron Rodgers, and nothing happened. You know, I mean, that is arguably one of the ugliest playoff games in Steelers history. That's the last time you saw Aaron Rodgers on the field with the Texans basically going, you know, you take it. And they still found a way to win, 30-6. So, I mean, as bad as we've been in 8 years, you're going to say, well, at least the Steelers are in the playoffs, point taken. But I just, It's a great question. We were just saying off the air, imagine if Tua has a couple of picks and looks awful in week one. And again, Tua will probably likely win this job because Michael's not still 100% unless he is.
Unless he is.
And then, okay, he hopefully wins the battle. Better for the team if Michael Penix Jr. wins the battle. You know, but it's going to be interesting because when you do have two quarterbacks and you don't have anybody established, you're going to be, you said it, you're going to be picking apart every performance.
Well, I just feel like, you know, new regime, there will be optimism with Kevin Stefanski and this staff. And again, go play disciplined football. Give yourself a chance to win. That's all I can ask for, Mike. But if we go up there and lay an egg and we don't look the part, it's going to create doubts about all offseason and in this conversation. But it gets back to how it goes down, okay? And so I said, if we lose by a field goal, defense plays lights out, Aaron Rodgers doesn't do anything all day, and then they get an opportunity to kick a field goal late in the game, that's just – we see it every Sunday. But if we lose by two touchdowns, Mike, and you said it, there are two picks and, you know, we're sloppy and there's okay, that's a different deal. And that gets back to what we've been talking about for the last two regimes, coaching. And it can't be about that anymore. Like, for Kevin Stefanski and this staff, it can't be about that anymore. It has to be about, we lost because, you know what, we gave up a play or they made a miraculous play, but we didn't beat ourselves.
It can't be a field goal kicker misses a kick or, you know, they should make a high percentage kick. We went and got the best. Again, I know he's older guys, but there's been a history of great older kickers, and Nick Folk is the best free agent kicker available, and we got him.
We did.
After the clown show that was the last 2 years for the Falcon kicking position. So hopefully that's not a problem. Clock management. Stefanski's a veteran. Stefanski's been a two-time coach of the year on a bad franchise because he knows that he will not screw up the things that Raheem presumably screwed up. And then the coordinator and maximizing the talent, all the things which we talked about. I know we said to Brian McFadden, this is the time for clickbait, as we're like 2 weeks out from camps around the NFL. So you know the guy, Warren Sharp?
Yes.
Does all the analytics, NFL stuff. Well, he listed the best front sevens for 2026.
Okay.
No surprise. Texans, Eagles, Rams, Broncos, Super Bowl champ, Seahawks, top five.
Solid.
And, all makes sense.
No issues there. Right. Texans had the best defense last season.
Right.
Broncos led the league in sacks. Right. So, you know,
Eagles have all those Georgia Bulldogs you know about.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I have no issues with that.
Guess where the Falcons show up?
Front seven for the Falcons. We got to be top 15.
And the team with the second most sacks in the league shows up on, again, this is why the analytics stuff and the Pro Football Focus, he's not PFF, but he is an analytics guy. He's got the Falcons next to the Dolphins for dead last.
Oh!
As front, 31 of 32 teams.
Well, Mike, I will say this, though. We didn't do a good job of stopping the run. We were not a team up front that stopped the run. That's where teams gouged us. And I've said this. We got to get better. That's why they made the moves they tried to make this year. Get a little bit bigger, more pressure up the middle from the standpoint of being able to be more stout. But that was an issue. But, yeah, you would think the sacks meant something, right?
No, apparently not.
No,
because, and look, I know James Pierce Jr., based on what we're hearing, it sure sounds like I think he starts the season. I think the NFL won't have a decision for us until now. The worst case would be a decision comes out and we're in a playoff run. And oh, by the way, they've rendered a decision. I can't imagine that.
No.
I can't see them doing that to a team midseason. That's got to be, it's going to have to happen before Labor Day.
I agree. You can't, you can't do that to us.
Right. Like, so Pierce, 10 and a half sacks. I mean, we talked about it. We've got guys, you know, Brandon Dorlus with 8.5 sacks. Yeah, I know that you said the run game. You could argue that Deshaun Hand, Mason Smith were a little, you know, a little sketchy maybe at the tackle position, but and linebackers, we don't have Caden Ellis here. So that's all part of why I guess Warren Sharp would have us as the 31st worst, even though we were second best at sacks.
I don't know if we're 31st. I would have us middle of the pack. I wouldn't have an issue with that. I think we're better than that. But those teams that you mentioned, it's the cream of the cream. That's the cream of the crop right there. If when we start creeping into that territory of those teams and their front sevens, that's when we start talking about Super Bowls.
Worst, he's got Saints, Cards, Bears, us, Dolphins.
Yeah, that's what. And Bears, look, it fits.
Yeah, and Grady's on that Bears defense, but that Bears defense did give up some points. They were a lot of shootouts, you know, with Caleb Williams last year.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. 404-726-0929. See what you did, B-Mac? You can find us and text us as well. But, yeah, it's got us thinking. And, look, we got plenty of time to chop all of this up. And we'll know a lot more about our team after camp. We'll know a lot more about the Steelers heading into week one by that time. But here's what we know about them. They don't have a quarterback issue. Right. They have arguably one of the greatest to play who's coming back to play his final season. And by the way, I think he's ahead of the game. Last year, he waited until camp literally started. Mike, right. He's been a part of OTAs and minicamp and all that stuff up there, which surprised a lot of people because they were like, well, he didn't do this last year. Okay, well, he did it this year. Maybe he's a little bit more vested. I don't know.
You know, you heard our boy, Brian McFadden, talking about Michael Pittman along with DK Metcalf.
Yep.
You know, they got to some nice pieces in the run in the running game. They got Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, the former dog who's a mountain of
he
a man.
A new deal.
Right. So on paper, yeah, but again, they still look like absolute dog against the Texans 30-6 in their building last year.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's like we all know that you get older, you're not going to be as mobile, but Aaron Rodgers' mobility is non-existent at this stage, which was a big part of his game in those MVP seasons.
Well, that's, you know, what's funny is, like, I'm curious what Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, is going to dial up against him, because if you allow Aaron to sit back there, now he is a vet. He can still sling it. He will pick right. you apart.
If you don't get pressure on him, yeah.
So I'm like, that is a game, Mike, where I would assume that we would literally come after him. I would rather give up some plays underneath and some small stuff than Aaron sit back there and have – and by the way, Metcalf's a beast. You guys ever seen this dude up close?
Yeah.
He is a monster, okay? So I'm not saying we can't cover him, but he's one of those guys that his size does play a role. And he's one of these guys like the NBA, Mike, where – okay, AJ's on his hip. You can still throw the ball because he can separate, and he's so long.
Right,
he can get to those balls.
And again, Mike Hughes versus Metcalf. That's not. I mean, that's a little nervous in the service. That's why you've got to get the heat. And look, we've already had the conversation about what James Pierce Jr. did. Now it's about the punishment from the league. Got to have him out there. And we're just talking strictly X and O's. He's got to be out there for that game.
Big O, he's behind the glass today. Day-Day's off. O's handling all the things. Didn't you say yesterday, or maybe there was a picture or something out there about James Pierce Jr.? Was it at Flowery Branch? Is that right? Where was it at? Do we know?
I think Day-Day said it was I'm not sure where Day-Day said it was, but it wasn't at Flowery Branch.
Okay, so he was working out, or at least doing drills, guys. And that got out. I think it's out there on social media. And so we didn't even really talk about it yesterday, but I would expect that. Mike,
right.
that shouldn't surprise you. He's getting ready for the season. And whether he knows he's going to be suspended or doesn't know or whatever the circumstances are going to be, still got to get ready for the season. At some point, you're either playing to start or you're going to be playing after four games or whatever it's going to be, and you better come in ready to go. All right, man, we got plenty more to dive into. Atlanta's authority on baseball is 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley, guys, on Sundays all season long. Join Grant from the Diamond, a comprehensive look at the Braves and Major League Baseball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home from markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's from the Diamond with Grant McCauley. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour as we get ready for the Braves to start the second half of the season against the Rangers tonight over at Truist Park. We start with a 2.5-game lead over the Mets, who beat the Phillies last night.
You know that Tommy Fleetwood, you know, the golfer that we always feel is never going to win the big one?
Oh, I love Fleetwood.
This is his home course.
Yes,
just,
it is.
Just gack to putt. And we're watching, by the way, next hour, as Carl mentioned, we'll get you up to speed because there's a lot of Americans doing some great work, and a dude from down under you never heard of made some history today.
That he did. But when we come back, he says last year is last year. It's Dukes and Bell.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.